Hare Krishna. So in keeping with the theme of this series of three lectures on the three main deities of Vrindavan, today we'll sing a song called Jai Radha Krishna Geeti, which basically just is the names of the main deities of Vrindavan and the great acharyas and devotees who are connected to those deities, whose worshipable deities they were. Jaya Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava Radhe. Jaya Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava Radhe. Jaya Deve Prana Dhana He. Jaya Radha Madan Gopal, Radha Madan Gopal Radhe. Jai Radha Madan Gopal, Radha Madan Gopal Radhe. Sita Nath Pranadhan He. Jaya Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe. Jaya Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe. Rup Goswamir Pranadhan He. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan Radhe. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan Radhe. Sanatanir Pranadhan He. Jaya Radha Gopinath, Radha Gopinath Radhe. Jaya Radha Gopinath, Radha Gopinath Radhe. Madhu Panditir Pranadhan He. Jaya Radha Damodara, Radha Damodara Radhe. Jai Radha Damodara, Radha Damodara Radhe. Jiva Goswami Pranadhana He. Jai Radha Ramana, Radha Ramana Radhe. Jai Radha Ramana, Radha Ramana Radhe. Gopal Bhatt Pranadhana He. Jai Radha Vinoda, Radha Vinoda Radhe. Jai Radha Vinoda, Radha Vinoda Radhe. Lokanath Pranadhana He. Jai Radha Gokulananda, Radha Gokulananda Radhe. Jai Radha Gokulananda, Radha Gokulananda Radhe. Vishwanath Pranadhana He. Jai Radha Giridhari, Radha Giridhari Radhe. Jai Radha Giridhari, Radha Giridhari Radhe. Das Goswamir Pranadhana He. Jai Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Shyam Sundar Radhe. Jai Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Shyam Sundar Radhe. Shyamanandar Pranadhana He. Jai Radha Gokulananda, Radha Gokulananda Radhe. Jai Radha Gokulananda, Radha Gokulananda Radhe. Prabhupada Pranadhana He. Jai Radha Gokulananda, Radha Gokulananda Radhe. Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Reading from the Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 1, The Spiritual Masters, Text 17. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sri Srila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vamshivata and attracts the attention of the cowherd damsels with the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. I'll just read a very small portion of the purport in a later verse, text 19, that is connected to this. When by the grace of Krishna and the devotees, one reaches perfection in devotional service, he can appreciate Krishna as Gopijana Vallabha, the pleasure deity of the damsels of Vraja. Gopijana Vallabha is the transcendental lover of the gopis. Krishna himself is called Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopijana Vallabh, and countless other names as he plays in his different pastimes with his devotees. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahaganda Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So in our discussion of the three main deities of Vrindavan, on the first day we spoke about Madan Mohan. The discussion spilled over to the second day. And yesterday we also discussed the second deity, Govinda Dev, which will spill over to today. And we'll also discuss Gopinath or Gopijana Vallabha, the third main deity of Vrindavan. These were the three main deities that were presiding over Vrindavan, so to speak, at the time of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. As we have discussed previously, Madan Mohan Vigraha, or the deity, is the presiding deity for Sambandha Gyan. By worshipping Madan Mohan, one is able to revive one's constitutional and eternal relationship with Krishna. And the Acharya for Sambandha Gyan is the one whose worshipable deity Madan Mohan was, that is Sanatan Goswami. Radha Govinda Dev is the functional deity for devotional service, which means that once we have understood that we are eternally servants of Krishna and we want to engage in the active devotional service of Krishna, then we worship Radha Govinda Dev, who accepts our service and inspires us to make further advancement in Krishna consciousness. And as we continue serving Krishna, serving Radha Govinda Dev, then we come to the point of perfection. So far, when we serve Radha Govinda Dev, we are serving in the stage of practice. It is devotional service in the mode of practice, sadhana bhakti. And as that sadhana bhakti reaches perfection, we come to the stage of prayojana, having gone through sambandha abhidheya. The abhidheya acharya is the one whose worshipable deity Radha Govinda Dev is, that is Srila Rupa Goswami. By studying Srila Rupa Goswami's books, like the Nectar of Devotion, or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Instruction, that is the Upadeshamrita, etc., we make very rapid advancement. And by the mercy of Radha Govinda Dev, Rupa Goswami and the Vaishnavas, one can move towards the ultimate goal. After Sambandha Gyan, then Abhidheya, and then Prayojana. Prayojana is the ultimate goal of life, pure love of Godhead. And in this stage, the Gaudiya Vaishnava worships Radha Gopinath, Krishna, who is the Lord and the Master and the proprietor of the gopis, the worshipable deity of the gopis. So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami worshipped is the Prayojana Acharya. He is the Acharya who especially is empowered to propagate and to teach us the principle of prema, the prema bhakti. Raghunath Das Goswami has also written some books on Krishna consciousness, on Prayojana Tattva, the highest truth of Krishna prema. So the three deities represent Sambandha, Abhidheya and Prayojana. A brief mention that Radha Govinda Dev represents the instructing spiritual masters or the Shiksha Gurus. Madan Mohan represents the Diksha Gurus, the initiating spiritual masters. So it is by the combined mercy of Krishna acting through these different instruments that the living entity is delivered to the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, having developed Krishna Prema. So let's continue with a bit of discussion about Radha Govinda Dev. We mentioned briefly at the end of yesterday's discussion, Yoga Peeth. Yoga means to come together, to join. Peeth refers to a sacred place. Like the Vyasa Sun is sometimes called the Vyasa Peeth also. It's a sacred place of Vyasadeva. So the Yoga Peeth is a sacred place and sometimes a secret place where Radha and Krishna meet. So you see, in the Prakat Leela or the manifest pastimes of the Lord, Krishna manifests many pastimes that are visible to people around him, physically present. That's called the manifest pastimes. Even sometimes ordinary people, so-called ordinary people, of course the people who are actually witnessing Krishna's pastimes are not ordinary. They've done some extraordinary spiritual activities, but they may not be only eternal associates of Krishna. There may also be others who, by dint of their spiritual practices over many lifetimes, have come to the point of being eligible to participate in Krishna's pastimes here, when Vrindavan manifests into the material world. For example, when Krishna was in Dwarka, or he traveled from Dwarka to Hastinapur, so many people saw him. So that's an example of the Prakat Leela, the manifest pastimes. So during Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, the manifest pastimes, sometimes he would steal away from the gopas, the cowherd boys, he would steal away from his mother Yashoda and go away to meet Srimati Radharani and the gopis at a secret place. Similarly, Srimati Radharani would steal away from her so-called husband and so-called in-laws, who in this whole pastime are like outlaws actually. And then she would come to meet Krishna secretly. So that happened in the Prakat Leela, the manifest pastimes. But some of these meeting places of Srimati Radharani and Krishna were also places where Radha and Krishna met in the Aprakat Leela, in the unmanifest pastimes. You see, Vrindavan is eternally existing. Even when this whole universe is destroyed, Vrindavan will remain. Maybe not in the way that we see it, not to our physical vision, but on the spiritual platform, Vrindavan is ever existing. So those pastimes of the Lord continue even after the manifest pastimes are over. So that those are called the unmanifest pastimes or the Aprakat Leela. So in the Aprakat Leela also, there are certain places in Vrindavan where Radha and Krishna meet. This time it may not be secretly, because in the Aprakat Leela, there are certain atmosphere in which they meet. So in Braja, it is said that there are three such yoga pithas. One is in a place called Gupta Kund. Gupta Kund is a kund or a small lake that is very close to Vrinda Kund. How many of you have been to Vrinda Kund? Okay, there are quite a few of you. So Vrinda Kund is the place of Vrinda Devi. Actually, the whole of Braja is a place of Vrinda Devi. It's called Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindavan, Vrindaranyam. But specifically, the place that is now known as Vrinda Kund is the place where Vrinda Devi plans and plots and schemes. And she arranges for the different pastimes of Radha and Krishna. She makes different arrangements. And right next to Vrinda Kund is Gupta Kund, where Radha and Krishna secretly meet in the Prakat Leela. And in the Aprakat Leela also, it is a yoga peet. The second yoga peet is at Radha Kund. The third yoga peet is exactly at the place where Govinda Dev is manifest in Vrindavan. The Abhidheya Murti, the Abhidheya Vigraha. And by the way, you know, we have this book, our song book. And if you look at the Mangalacharan prayers, before, right in the beginning, the first thing we have are the Mangalacharan prayers, where we sing the prayers to invoke auspiciousness. And just before we come to Radha Pranam or Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, that prayer, then we have three prayers, three verses, which are exactly the three verses we have chanted day before yesterday, yesterday and today. And what are the names that are given to these? For the verse we chanted day before yesterday, starting with Jayatam Surotau Pongor, it is Sambandhadhidev Pranam. Sambandha, the prayer that gives us Sambandha, eternal connection to Krishna, re-establishes our constitutional position. The second is called Abhidheya Adhi Deva Pranam. So Abhidheya is the process of acting in accordance with our constitutional relationship. So this represents Govinda Dev. So the Govind is, it is mentioned here, you can see. Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devau. And the third is called Prayojanadhi Deva Pranam. That pranam to the deity of the Prayojana Tattva, and that is Gopinath. So Gopinatha Shriyastunaha. So this yoga peet at Govinda Dev temple, where Govindadev temple stands now, is the place where Radha and Krishna meet eternally. And the way they meet is interesting. Yesterday, at the end of the class, we sang a song, Vrindavana Ramya Sthan. It's called Vasanti Ras. And it describes the seating place of Radha and Krishna at the yoga pit. They sit together on a jeweled throne, surrounded by their eternal associates, who are standing there in certain postures, doing certain types of service. It's like a royal assembly where the king and the queen gather together, seated on a throne, and the officials connected to the royal entourage, they're all present around the king and the queen, all eager to serve. So the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna, especially the gopis, they are there serving Radha and Krishna in different ways. So the entire purpose of Goloka Vrindavan, the entire purpose of all existence, the highest purpose is to serve Radha and Krishna. That is the perfection of life. And even though other rasas, mellows exist in Goloka Vrindavan, ultimately they are all subordinate to this one relationship between Radha and Krishna. Everything exists, everyone exists to serve the transcendental pleasures of Radha and Krishna. So they are seated there on this jeweled throne, surrounded by these gopis and so on. It may appear to be somewhat incompatible. It may appear to some, and there is sometimes some devotees may raise this objection, but Vrindavan is a place of madhurya, of sweetness. And how come there is such a display of aishwarya or opulence here? We thought that Vrindavan was, the opulence was just the twigs and the trees and the grass and the plants and the cows. And here we see jeweled thrones and so on and so forth. So how does one reconcile this apparent contradiction? Actually speaking, it is not a contradiction. As we study in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, when it is said that Vrindavan is the place of sweetness, it is Madhurya Dham, it doesn't mean that there is no opulence. In fact, as Kaviraj Goswami has explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we won't go into this in detail because it will be a little bit of a detour, there is more opulence in Vrindavan than even in Vaikuntha. But the point is that the predominant flavor is sweetness, madhurya. Aishwarya is not the point in Vrindavan. Even though Aishwarya is present, it doesn't influence the sweet mood of the devotees of Vrindavan. This madhurya bhav is not eclipsed even when there is a display of Aishwarya or opulence. Whereas in other places, like Mathura, Dwarka, the sweetness of the love for Krishna is sometimes eclipsed when there is a display of opulence. When Arjuna saw the Virat Rupa, the universal form, his feelings of friendship were corrupted, so to speak, by the feeling of awe and reverence. And Arjuna started looking at Krishna in that mood. Oh, you're the Supreme Lord. That intimacy of friendship was lost momentarily. But in Vrindavan, that doesn't happen. In Vrindavan, the sweetness continues. So this is the Yoga Pita. And that song yesterday described that. The verse today, or yesterday's verse rather, not today's verse. Yesterday's verse, that also describes, that is the verse that is Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumataha. That describes the Yoga Pita also. Srila Prabhupada used to sometimes quote this famous verse from the Nectar of Devotion, in which Srila Rupa Goswami also describes and mentions Lord Govinda at the Yoga Pita. It's a beautiful verse in which the gopis are cautioning and warning the other gopis not to go to Vamshivata, the the Vanshivata tree on the bank of the Yamuna, because there's a very dangerous person standing there in his three-armed bending form, playing the flute in such an enchanting way that the gopis tell the others, beware, don't go there. Because if you go there, then you will have to forget about your material relationships. If you value your material relationships in this world, don't go there at all. Of course, the intention is to say exactly the opposite. So it's a literary ornament. It's a literary device that is used in poetry sometimes. When you say something, but you mean exactly the opposite. It's called Vyajastuti. Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim vanshinyasta dharakishalayam ujjvalam chandrakena govindakhyam haritanum mitah keshitirthopakante ma prekshishthastava yadi sakhe bandhu sange stirangah. So gopis are saying, bandhu sangaha, your relationships with your relatives, family, friends, astiranga, if you still want to enjoy that, if you still want to relish it, ma prekshishtaha, don't see whom? Govindakhyam haritanum mitaha, that man called Govinda. And what about him? Smeram bhangi. Smeram, he's lightly smiling. He's got a soft smile on his face. Bhangi traya parichitam. His body is bent in three places. In which places? The neck, the waist, and the knees. And as he's standing there, traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim, and he's shedding a sidelong glance. Vistirna is a broad glance. He's looking and it's sidelong. He's looking here, but he's got a glance there. And that glance is devastating. So don't go there. His body is also shining. Ujjvalam chandrakena. Because of the rays of the full moon that are shining on his body, his cheeks are effulgent. His whole body looks very bright. So don't go there to that Govinda Dev. So this is also a description of Govinda and a portion of the Yoga Peeth. Actually, the place where the Govinda Dev temple stands, as I mentioned, is exactly the center of the Yoga Peeth. To the northeast of that is a place called Brahmakund, also part of the Yoga Peeth. Further to the northeast is Gopeshwar Mahadev. Gopeshwar Mahadev is Lord Shiva, who is present in Vrindavan, in Braj. And of course, there's another beautiful pastime about that. We won't get into it. But Lord Shiva is there in the form of a gopi. Lord Shiva is present at Lord Krishna's pastime places, in Mayapur as well, Braja also. There are many Shivalingas all over Braj. And they are meant to protect the pastime places of Krishna. So this specific deity, Gopeshwar Mahadev, is especially meant to protect the Rasa Sthali and to protect the Yoga Peeth. So he is the guardian of the Yoga Peeth. And then further north of Gopeshwar Mahadev is the place Vanshivata, which we just mentioned now. There is a banyan tree there. And it is under this tree that Krishna famously stood in his threefold bending posture, playing the enchanting notes of his flute that mesmerized all the residents of Braja. Not only the residents of Braja, but actually even Indra, Brahma, the four Kumaras, the residents of Swarga, the Apsaras, Gandharvas, everybody was stunned in ecstasy. That's the description in the Nectar of Devotion. However, the kind of impact that the flute of Krishna had on the residents of Vrindavan and especially on the gopis of Vrindavan is incomparable. even though Brahma and everybody else was stunned and so on, but their responses or reactions cannot be compared to the reactions of the gopis of Vrindavan. So when Krishna played the flute standing at this yoga peat under Vamshivata on the bank of the Yamuna, then the gopis left everything in the middle of the night. They left whatever it is that they were doing and they rushed to Krishna. And Krishna tried to send them back, saying, look, you are all respectable ladies, you have children, husbands. It's not good for you to be running away like this and coming to me. Go back, go back. So the gopis were very upset. They said, you're teaching us jnana and all these shlokas and morality and dharma shastra and laws of Manu and so on. It's not fair. It's not proper. We have given up everything. We don't even mind facing the wrath of the society if they call us all sorts of names. But we have surrendered to you. Now don't send us back. Eventually, of course, Krishna accepts them. So these pastimes happened at the yoga peet here. So therefore this third yoga peet is called the Govindaji Yoga Peet. So this is these are the wonderful pastimes connected to Govinda Dev. Yesterday, I just recall, I think I made a little mistake. I mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had sent Vakreshwar Pandit to serve Govinda Dev. Actually, it was Kashishwar Pandit, not Vakreshwar Pandit. There's a difference. So Kashishwar Pandit came here and Mahaprabhu gave him a deity of himself, of Krishna, but with a golden complexion. So that deity was called Gaura Govinda. He's Govinda Dev, but he's with a Gaura complexion, a golden complexion. So Govinda Dev blesses us if we render sincere devotional service, and we can come to the point of worshipping Radha Gopinath, who is the ultimate presiding deity, the Prayojana Vigraha. And this is the deity that is being described here in the verse that we read today. Let's read the translation again. Oh, by the way, yes, before I go on to Gopinath, since we are on the topic of Govinda Dev, we just had the beginning of the Radha Govinda Jhulan Yatra today. So why not speak a little bit about Govinda Dev's Jhulan Yatra, the Swing Festival. The Swing Festival is a very popular festival in Vrindavan. Thousands of people attend it. They come from nearby villages and even from distant villages. In Vrindavan, it's celebrated from the third day of the waxing moon in the month of Shravan. Today is the 11th day, it's Ekadashi. So they start from Shukla Tritiya. Shukla means the waxing moon. Tritiya means the third day of the month of Shravan. So in Vrindavan, this festival starts from Shukla Tritiya of the month of Shravan and goes on till Purnima, which is Balaram Jayanti. So it's about 13 days roughly, the Swing Festival. Srila Prabhupada instructed the devotees to do it for 4 or 5 days. From Ekadashi, that's the 11th day, to Balaram Jayanti or Purnima. So we do it for 4 days, 5 days. In Jagannath Puri, it starts from the 10th day. That is the day before Ekadashi and goes on to 1 day after Purnima. So roughly 6 or 7 days. In Jagannath Puri also, the deity of Madan Mohan is brought out because he is the Utsav Vigraha for Jagannath. And then a Swing Festival is performed. So the Swing Festival happens in Vrindavan, in Puri and in many other places. And all the popular and famous temples of Vrindavan celebrate Jhulan Yatra very gorgeously. It's an exquisite festival to be part of. Very, very devotional. And devotees sing songs like we did today. Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan and many other songs. So wherever we are, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, in whichever corner of the globe, we can gather together and remember Vrindavan like that. According to the traditional Braja folklore, it is said that Srimati Radharani came to Barsana at the time of the Jhulan Yatra. Actually, it is a culture in many parts of India that during the festival of the swing, the Julan Yatra, married girls go home to their father and mother's house. And they celebrate the festival with their parents. So they take leave from their husbands and their in-laws and they come to their father's place. So every year it was the custom that Srimati Radharani would leave the place of her husband Abhimanyu and her mother-in-law and sister-in-law Kutila and Jatila. And Jatila sometimes would not give permission easily. They would always be grumbling, why have you come to take her home? There's so much work to do here at home. And then you've come to take her and God knows how long you'll keep her there. So, but nevertheless, they would somehow come with a lot of gifts because they knew that, you know, the in-laws of Radharani were very greedy for good gifts. So they would pacify them with a lot of gifts and then very reluctantly they would allow, okay, Radharani, go, but come back soon. So this one year, Sridhama, the brother of Srimati Radharani, didn't come for many days. Shravan had begun. The month had started. And she was bemoaning the fact that Sridhama hadn't come. And she was thinking, my parents and my family members in Varsana, they have forgotten me. My fate. She was condemning her own fate. And she was lamenting like this. And finally, of course, she met one visitor from Varsana who was visiting Yavat, where she was staying with her husband and in-laws. And she revealed her mind to this resident of Varsana, who felt very sorry for her. And he went back and explained to Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida Devi, what happened? This year you haven't sent anybody to bring Radharani back? So then they said, oh yes, of course, of course. So they sent Sridhama. And when Radharani saw Sridhama coming, she was very happy. But still she was a little nervous because she didn't know what her mother-in-law would say. So Sridhama, of course, was well prepared. He had gifts and so on and rubies and emeralds and many things. And very reluctantly, but grumbling all the same, her mother-in-law allowed, all right, go, but come back soon. And because she said, don't go with that black boy, she cautioned him, remember, I'll be very watchful. So Radharani said, that black boy, never, never I'll go with him. So then she was convinced, all right. So he went back to Barsana. And there the swing festivals were going on very nicely. And Radharani would steal away from her parents, and she would go to a secret place where she would meet Krishna. Krishna would steal away from Nandagram, and he would come to Barsana. And sometimes they would swing. Because you see, at this time, it's the monsoon season in India. It rains. And when it rains, it's a little cool. But when it's not raining, then it becomes very sultry, very humid. You perspire a lot. So you want some breeze. So when there's no breeze, then you sit on a swing. So that's one reason why the swing pastime happens here, so that when you move, then there's breeze. So then Srimati Radharani sat on the swing, and then Krishna started swinging it very gently, very slowly, because Radharani used to get scared. So he was very particular to not frighten her. So he was swinging this swing very slowly. And after that went on for some time, then Krishna assumed a mischievous mood. And then he gave one big heave to the swing. And as the swing went to the other extreme, it went very high. And Srimati Radharani then screamed for Krishna. She chanted Krishna's name. And Krishna didn't need a second invitation. And he jumped onto the swing. And then he was with Radharani again. And such pastimes happened in the swing festival, in the Julan Yatra. So the Brajabasis have so many such pastimes to narrate. Anyway, so these are a few things about the Julan Yatra of Radha Govinda Dev. So let's come now to Gopinath, the presiding deity of the Prayojana Tattva. He is Gopijana Vallabha. He is very dear to the gopis, the master, the proprietor of the gopis. The temple of Gopinath in Vrindavan is also very popular. Of course, like all the other original deities of Vajranath, that deity was also shifted to Jaipur. The temple is still there, Radha Gopinath temple. If you remember on the first day I mentioned that of the many deities carved by Vajranab, there were four Gopals, of whom Madan Gopal was one. And Madan Mohan later. And then the four Devas. Of the four Devas, Govinda Dev was one. And of the two Naths, Gopinath was one, and Srinathji was the other. Srinathji is now in Nathdwara. So Gopinath has a very interesting history also. There was a devotee called Paramananda Bhattacharya, and he lived with another devotee called Madhu Pandit Goswami. They were contemporaries of the six Goswamis in Braj. And they were living at Vanshivata, living in Braj, and worshipping Radha Krishna with their heart and soul. Every day they would go in the morning to take bath in the Yamuna. Now one day it so happened that when Paramananda Bhattacharya was there, he saw that the Yamuna, the water of the Yamuna, had cut into the bank and revealed something most extraordinary. A beautiful deity of Krishna. And he was Gopinath, the same original deity that had been carved under the supervision of Vajranab. And Paramananda Bhattacharya was overjoyed. And he came and presented this deity to his associate Madhu Pandit Goswami, who then began worshipping this deity very, very nicely. And soon, after some time, actually a temple was formed by one of the Rajput kings, I think Rai Singh or something his name was, and from Bikaner, what's a place in Rajasthan, so they built it. And this particular commander, he was a commander also in the army of Akbar, and he had defeated the Afghans. So Akbar had given him a large plot of land. So anyway, the temple of Gopinath was then constructed like that. After Aurangzeb's soldiers attacked much later, the deity was shifted, and there is now a Pratibhu Murti there. The Samadhi of Madhu Pandit Goswami also is in the complex. The same complex of Radha Gopinath temple. One time, the consort of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, that is Janava Devi, came to Vrindavan, and she went for darshan of all the deities. She came to have darshan of Radha Gopinath, and she was overjoyed. She stayed for the evening arati, and she noted in her mind that the deity of Radharani was too small in size compared to the deity of Gopinath. So this thought was in her mind. And when she went back to take rest, at night, Gopinath, as well as Srimati Radharani, separately appeared to her in a dream and said, "Yes, you are right." So, and then later a deity of Radharani was carved, or was made, fashioned, that was more bigger, I believe. And then Janava Devi went back. Now there are different narrations actually. In the Bhakti Ratnakar it is mentioned that Janava Devi went back to Bengal, and in her dream, she realized that she must be present. She infused her presence in her own deity. She had her own deity card before her disappearance. And she instructed the devotees that this deity of herself should be sent to Gopinath temple and placed on the left side of Krishna, of Gopinath, which is the place where normally Srimati Radharani is. So the devotees in Bengal did that. They sent the deity of Janava Devi to the priests in the Gopinath temple. Now the priests were hesitant. How can we do this? The left side of Krishna is Radharani. So if you look at Radha Gokulananda, Radharani is on Gokulananda's left. It's always like that. So you see, in Vedic culture, it's so subtle, so refined. Whenever you circumambulate or even pass by a respectable personality, you always keep that personality on your right. Which is why we circumambulate, keeping Tulasi Devi or the deities on our right side. So even if you are sitting, it is a respectable person sitting down, maybe a human being, a great devotee or something, or even an elder person, then if you want to pass him by, then you have to keep your right side towards him as you pass by. So these are subtle things. So because Krishna is superior to Radharani, of course, Brajavasis think otherwise, because in Braj, Radharani is superior, yes? At home, we all know who's superior. So, but anyway, ontologically, so Krishna is superior. So then on his left there's Radharani and Krishna is on Radharani's right. So when the priests got this deity of Janava, they were wondering what to do. It's not quite the established standard practice. But then Gopinath came in their dream and said, no, do this. You place Radharani on my right and you place Janava Devi on my left. Actually, Janava Devi is none other than Ananga Manjari. Now, as we all know, many of the associates of Krishna from his Vrindavan pastimes also appeared in Gaur Leela, in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Ananga Manjari, who is the younger sister of Srimati Radharani, she appeared as Janava Devi, the consort of Nityananda Prabhu. So therefore Ananga Manjari is present there in Janava Devi's form on the left side of the Gopinath deity. So therefore, when you go today to Gopinath temple, you will see the Gopinath deity on Krishna's left is Ananga Manjari or Janava Devi. On the right is Srimati Radharani. So Gopinath, of course, being the Lord of the Gopis, will award us pure prema. And in that mood, we can visit all these temples. The temple of Radha Gopinath in Jaipur is very beautiful. Now we have run out of time, but suffice it to say that these three deities are our heart and soul. In the beginning, we sung a song with all the main deities of Vrindavan and the acharyas who worshipped these deities. So we'll stop here. I was said I could go on to line 15. I have 2 minutes more, 3 minutes, in case anybody wants to make any comments or any questions.